January the 23rd, we are back. A lot to talk about. A lot happened. I'm probably not going to remember all of it, to be honest. We'll talk about tonight's games. We'll talk about some injuries. We'll talk about tanking, although I made my thoughts pretty clear on Twitter, what I think about the tanking and what's going on in the league at the moment. Anyway, let's get into all of it. It could be a long show. We'll see. This is the Thursday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do it, say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. I'll say it because I haven't said it for a week. Please go and subscribe and like and do all of that stuff. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. We have our trade deadline show coming up in a few weeks. Dan Bespris and I, there have been tweets about it. Please go and pre-like the show if you could on YouTube. That would be really appreciated. Fairly certain as well that Dan and I are going to sneak in a post-trade deadline early stash show or something. So anyway, we're going to talk about players that we think will have value after the trade deadline. Whether we want to call them a stash or not, I don't know. But that will be coming up next Tuesday, I believe. Tomorrow there will be potentially trade talk with Noah Rubin. I have remembered that early tomorrow morning, I have to go and do part of my motorcycle license, which starts at 8:30 in the morning. So I would need to do a real early show with Noah. So that might happen. If not, we might do it the day after. Anyway, we'll figure it out. There should be a pregame show at least. Lots to talk about from tonight. Some injury news, which we can probably cover when we get into the games. The tanking issue. Obviously, I've been more active on Twitter the last week just because I haven't been able to do a show. Honestly, it's had lots of good engagement. Maybe I'll just try to do more. It is harder for me when I'm working because I'm at work. Obviously, I haven't been at work for a week, so I've been able to do stuff. But yeah, look, lots of tanking, lots of questionable lineups, especially from Utah and Brooklyn, Portland to some degree. Washington haven't been too bad. Charlotte haven't been too bad, although we have got Miles Bridges and LaMelo Ball both questionable tomorrow against Portland. So it does seem that these teams that are fighting for the draft picks are more likely to rest or have injured players when they are facing comparable teams. So teams that are in the same position, they don't want to win games. When they come up against the better teams who want to win, they will play more of their players. So do check the schedule. Looking ahead, if it's a three-game week, four-game week, check who those games are against. Normally, we don't have to do that this early in the season. It's normally a post-All-Star break thing, but apparently the league's okay with it. There hasn't been any indication that the league has contacted the teams and had a word with them. And reading through the rules, which I did when I was away, they're actually not breaking any. There's nothing to say they can't do this. They obviously bought in last year, I think it was. Last year, the resting kind of policy, but that was more around televised games, home games, and all-star, all-NBA level players, those sorts of things. These teams don't have those players, really. I mean, who on Portland is an all-NBA player? No one. Same goes for the Wizards. Same goes for the Nets. They don't have all-stars, so I guess the league views it as you're just resting scrubs. Who cares? Which to some degree, I mean, I don't know if the fans care, but it's more and they don't care about fantasy, the NBA. So it's probably a lose-lose situation really here for us as fantasy managers. But we did a redraft in one of my just one of my home leagues, and I posted my team. And, yeah, I was very hesitant to draft players on certain teams. I did take LaMelo quite high, which may come back to bite me, but I think I avoided a lot of the lower teams. I had the opportunity to draft like a Keontae George late, and I didn't. Lauri Markkanen, I can't remember how late he went. Joel Embiid went in the last round of that draft, so basically a draft and then straight into the IR spot. So, yeah, tanking is apparently thriving in the NBA at the moment, and it's not a good look. And I talked about the Clippers yesterday as well. I posted that as soon as they saw, they were playing Boston, I think, and they had players out, and then Harden was a late scratch, and then the Celtics rested some players, and so basically they're just taking the piss at this point. And I know that this was the four games in five nights thing, and that shouldn't happen, and it was the postponed games and the league trying to cram games into the middle of the season rather than sort of looking back the last few years and going, hey, look, we're actually having to reschedule games relatively frequently in terms of every season we have a few games. Why not end the regular season then have a week where we have nothing? Put the games in. What does it matter? They're not doing that. So they're jamming these games in, which stuffs up the schedule. And I don't blame the Clippers again for doing it, because there's nothing to say they can't. It's not a good look, I don't think. And there's all this negativity around the league, which we're trying to avoid. But they're not doing themselves any favours with what they're letting these teams get away with. And I said that, personally, I think these NBA players who are paid millions of dollars to train, play, I know they travel. I would argue that they travel in luxury. But I know they travel, so that has to be factored in, and late bedtimes. So I get that. But these guys, like, I see no reason why they couldn't play four games in five nights, to be honest. If you watch an NBA game, they're usually not on the court for longer than about 5 to 8 minutes before there's a timeout and they sit for 3 minutes. So it's not like they're playing 30 minutes straight basketball, and there's lots of arguments around this, and so I'm not going to get into it, but that's, I don't know. I just think with all the all this chatter about the negativity surrounding the league and they're falling behind NFL and this sort of thing, and I think I popped it on Twitter, and even when we did this show last week or something, around resting in the other major codes in the US, it sounds like it's not really an issue. It's only the NBA that it's happening. So anyway, it is what it is. I think we just have to deal with it for now, and maybe something will be done during the off season, but I see no way that the NBA is going to come out and put in place some rules now. It's going to have to be something that happens in the off season. So we just deal with what we've got for now. All right. Well, that was 10 minutes of not having a rant about stuff and ending up ranting about it. So let's talk about some games. First game, it was an early one here in Australia, a little early in the US as well. It would have been, 2 p.m. Eastern tip-off. San Antonio, Indiana in Paris. Spurs get the comfortable victory, 140 to 110. Yeah, 140 to 110. Wemby, of course, I guess this was the script the NBA was looking for. 30, 11 and 6, 5 blocks, 1 steal. 4 threes, shot the ball well, so nice night for him. Devin Vassell has continued his upward trend. He's playing really well at the moment, which I had hoped he would do, and he is. 25 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 5 threes, 9 of 13 from the line. So, yeah, maybe a sell high if you don't think he can keep this up, which he probably can't keep up 9 of 13. But if you want to try and sell high on him, you could do that. Steph Castle, 9 points. Look, I mean, Jeremy Sochan was back here. I think Castle is going to fall back to being nothing more than a streamer. As for Sochan, he looked good off the bench, 18 minutes, 13, 9, and 3. Has to be rostered. The minutes will only go up from here. It was a back injury, so this will be managed, but I still think he has to be rostered. For the Pacers, not pretty reading. I mean, Mathurin had 24 points. Everyone else was a bit underwhelming, to be honest. Even Halliburton, 13 and 7, no defensive stats, no free throws. Yeah, there's really not much to talk about here for the Pacers. It was just a pretty lethargic, depressing performance if you're a Pacers fan. Speaking of depressing, if you're an Orlando fan, Portland 101, Orlando 79. Orlando really have just run out of steam, haven't they? They got Franz back tonight, but they were still very, very ordinary. They need this All-Star break badly. For Portland, no DeAndre Ayton, and I'm not going to go on a rant about DeAndre Ayton and what I think about him. You know what I think about him. I wish they would just shut him down, trade him, do something. They don't need him on the court. Rob Williams had 8 and 12 with 4 blocks and a steal. He would be the guy we would roster here, but Donovan Clingan will come back at some point as well. I think they will try to trade Ayton, but I don't know whether they'll be able to. Maybe they can trade Rob Williams. Clingan, still a nice stash for me, but you do need to be able to deal with, obviously, injuries at the moment and then pretty modest production up until the trade deadline and maybe just beyond. Kamara had, he returned 16, 6 and 3 with 2 steals and 2 blocks, so a nice performance for him. He had been trending down a little bit. Shaedon Sharpe moved to the bench, 7 points, 4 rebounds. I'd still be holding him, but we do want to monitor this situation. I mean, why the hell they're starting Jeremy Grant? I have no idea. Kamara, I can see. Williams, I can see. Simons. It is going to be hard, to be fair, to get Scoot and Shaedon into this starting lineup. Ideally, I think they both should be in there with Anthony Simons. But are they looking to move Anthony Simons? I don't know. I just don't think we're going to get clarity on this for another couple of weeks. So I would hold Sharp. I would hold Avdija. I would hold Simons. Jeremy Grant, I suppose. Scoot, I would be holding. He had 6 fouls in 14 minutes here. I think he had 5 fouls in about 9 minutes or something. So this, I know the move to the bench is not ideal, but he won't play 14 minutes. I can guarantee you he will play more than this. It was purely foul trouble that kept him to this. So I would absolutely roster him. Keep an eye in your leagues just to see if he is dropped as well. For Orlando, Franz Wagner did return. He had 20 points, 4 rebounds, a block. He looked pretty good, all things considered. On the other hand, considering, Paolo did not look good. 1 of 14 from the field, 8 points, 2 blocks, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. So the counting stats are good. Look, Paolo is still working his way back. The minutes are probably what we want to pay more attention to here. He played 33 of them. Franz was at 24. So I think in terms of the trajectory of their playing time, we're exactly where we need to be. They're missing Goga badly in the middle. They're missing Jalen Suggs defensively as well. Anthony Black is not Jalen Suggs, nor is Cole Anthony. Caldwell Pope, he's been fine. He's fine to hold just because he's playing a lot of minutes. But I mean, for me, Wendell Carter has done nothing to deter me from my opinion that Goga needs to start. Wendell Carter had 3.6 rebounds. He had 2 blocks and a steal, but yeah, he is not the center they need. They need Goga out there. Jonathan Isaac also 0 points. That double-double that he had, 2 weeks ago, is continuing to look like the most random performance of the season. All right, let's get moving through these games. Miami at Milwaukee. The Bucks comfortable win, 125-96 for the Heat. Kalel Ware, so he moved into the starting lineup while I was away, I think. We had talked about him for weeks previous about how he was producing well. He just wasn't getting quite enough minutes, and then it flipped all of a sudden, and here we are. I'm going to take a win on Kalel because if you were watching my shows in the preseason, I was pretty high on him. I drafted him in a lot of leagues with my last pick because I had hoped they would play him alongside Bam. I thought he gave him a good look in terms of his ability to spread the floor. He's a much better rim protector. But then they just didn't do it. He was out of the rotation. Tom Bryant was playing over him, and so he had to be a drop. He was. But no, I think I was pretty right on this one, and I'm wrong on a lot of things, but I think with Kilauea I was bang on. So has to be rostered. Surely he's rostered now. Jimmy Butler obviously is suspended again at the moment. He was suspended while I was away. Duncan Robinson, I think he's okay if you need threes. Tyler Hero wasn't his best game. He remains a hold. Pelle Larsen started for whatever reason. Look, I know even with Jimmy out, Rozier, Larsen, Harkes, Jovic, Highsmith, I don't think we can trust any of these guys to be. They don't have to be rostered. I think you could roster Jovic, Harkes, and Rozier are probably the three I'd consider. Who I would prefer? It might still be Jovic just, but it's pretty close. It's none of them are going to be game changers or league winners or anything like that. For the Bucks, usual stuff. Dame, Giannis, very good. Lopez had 3 blocks, 11 points, not much else. Bobby Portis, Gary Trent, nice nights for them. But this was against a Miami team that really are just poo at the moment. That is what I will say about Miami, about Kalel Ware. He is playing big minutes and he's putting up numbers, but it is not translating to wins. So this is where we probably need to have that discussion around what are the Heat wanting from this season. If they don't want anything, like if they're looking at we're going to tank, or not tank, but not, I guess, not push as hard, then we roll with him for the rest of the season. If they are wanting to win, that sort of thing, maybe they do move away from him at some point. But at this stage, I don't think they will. I think we're good to go. Toronto at Atlanta. Toronto 122, Atlanta 119. Hawks came back in this one. Raptors hold on for a 3-point win. Scotty Barnes, nice night for him. Same for Jakob Poeltl. RJ Barrett was fine. 0 of 2 from the free throw. Man, those free throws are up and down. Grady Dick started this game really well. I think he had 11 points in the first 6 minutes. He ended up with 15 points, 2 steals, 3 assists, 1-3. The minutes are what I'm sort of looking at here, 32 of them. If he's at 30 minutes a night, he's probably a hold, but he hadn't been. He'd been down in the 20s. So hold him if you have, and I have, mainly because I just forgot to drop him. So I think he's probably a soft hold at the moment. We'll see what happens. Bruce Brown has been playing very well. The minutes, I don't think he's playing enough to be rostered, but you could take a flyer. 20 points, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. We know what kind of a player he is. So if you want to take a flyer on him, but I'm not sort of certain here. Same for Chris Boucher, 17 points in 18 minutes. I'm not buying that. For Atlanta, we had no Risa Shea, who is out for a week. Hasn't been in for a while. Jalen Johnson played, but only played 11 minutes, 3 points, 1 steal, left the game with a left shoulder injury. Now, this is not the shoulder that he injured or has been dealing with. This is the other shoulder. And this was an acute injury. It was. We saw what happened. It wasn't I think I need to come off. He grabbed at it. He dislocated it, I'm assuming, separated it, whatever we want to call it. It was pretty innocuous. He was just reaching out. It obviously just sort of twisted the wrong way. Popped out. He knew it straight away. He ran off. Look, a separated shoulder like that, it's an exact injury. I have done this injury in a game. I have popped my shoulder out and it popped straight back in and I was able to play through it. I feel like I missed a couple of weeks, and it was mainly a pain kind of thing. But obviously, I wasn't in the NBA. I was probably 17 or something. So when it felt right, I just played again. But it bothers me to this day. I still have a bursitis in my shoulder, and from time to time it flares up, and I basically can't move my arm outside of my cylinder, or it feels like it's going to pop out. To this point, I've never had surgery or anything on it. I probably never will. But it is an injury that will probably require some rest if some ligaments were damaged. So we will get an update, I would assume, tomorrow, the next day, on what the process moving forward is going to be. But I would brace for an absence here, especially as he's dealing with a shoulder. The other shoulder is an ongoing thing. They may just shut him down now till the All-Star break. That will give him, I think games are back from the All-Star break in about 4 weeks. That would give him a good break. If they can stay afloat, then, yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get a reevaluation in a week or 2 weeks, and then he's reevaluated, and then he returns after the All-Star break. We will see. As for those that did play and played a lot of minutes, Vete Krejci, 13 points, 2 steals. I don't know if he's an ad. I did put on Twitter that for some reason, and I've talked about this on my show, that I've got some weird affiliation with him at the moment. Deeper leagues, yes. Only 25 minutes here because DeAndre Hunter and Bogdan Bogdanovic just played a lot. If Bogdan's playing well, he will get minutes because he is proven. We know what he can do. I don't mind taking a flyer on Vete. Deeper leagues, yes. Standard leagues, it's touch and go. Okongwu should be rostered, surely. I don't need to talk about him. Trae Young didn't shoot the ball well, still had 13 assists. Dyson Daniels, almost another double-double. 22, 8 and 5, 4 steals. My guy pushing for that All-Star berth, which he's not going to get, but we can joke, can't we? And no Clint Capella here, so we got some weird sort of David Roddy, Dominic Barlow minutes, but Capella took a hard fall in the last game, so we will see if he misses time here, but it does appear that they are now leaning into a Okongwu with a 28-plus minute per night role. Dallas at OKC, another team that probably needs the All-Star break. Just a little rest here, the OKC Thunder, they lose 121 to 115 for Dallas. PJ Washington, God, this guy is hard to project. 22 points, 19 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 2 threes. Fantastic. Very good night. Kessler Edwards started. So that tells you sort of all you need to know about this Dallas lineup that somehow pulled out a victory. Gafford, we're rostering him with Lively out for, well, they're saying 4 weeks reevaluation, but we know that he is probably going to be out at least 6 weeks, I would say 2 months. So Gafford, just make sure he isn't somehow floating around. Spencer Dinwiddie, speaking of inconsistent, 28 points, barely missed a shot. Didn't do much else, but the points are nice here. Grimes, don't know what's happened to him. 9 points in his 27 minutes. They just have no one else, so he has to play minutes, but he didn't do anything with it. For the Thunder, a nice Jalen Williams game, 33 points, 7 assists, 4 steals, 1 block. 7 of 10 from the line is not ideal, but it's not terrible. Shea was good and no one else was. Lou Dort got ejected. He hit Dan Gafford in the old fella. It didn't look good, so he was ejected. I don't think there'll be a suspension. I guess he might get one game, but probably not. Jay Will, he started at center, continues to be serviceable while Hartenstein is out, 12 and 6 with a block. Kayson Wallace, we're rostering him, 7 points and 2 steals. Alex Caruso, 8 points, 5 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. That's pretty good. If you've got Caruso, he gets you the defensive stats. Sometimes he gets you some assists, so we're happy there. But just not a great night for the Thunder. They will move on. I'm sure they aren't too bothered by this at all. Sacramento at Denver, 132-123. Denver get the win. It wasn't really this close. Look, Sacramento kept it, I guess, relatively close, but not too close. Who are we looking at here? Fox, fine. Monk cooled off a bit, but still got 7 assists. Just wasn't shooting the ball that well, but obviously a very, very clear must roster player. Keegan Murray is borderline. Nothing much has changed since I went away. Keegan is Keegan. Keon Ellis, only 21 minutes. He actually didn't play that well in this one. 6-5 with a steal, 21 minutes. I think he's locked in for 20 minutes. So whether we agree, whether we don't, he is just a steals streamer at this point. And like I said, he wasn't great. He was minus 11 off the bench. So, yeah, not his best night. And I'm not interested in anyone else there. For Denver, Jokic, he had a crazy... It wasn't full court, but it was close to a shot to beat the third quarter buzzer, I think it was. He ended with 35, 22, 17, a steal, 2 blocks, 9 of 10 from the line. This MVP race is going to be very, very entertaining. For me, it's Jokic or Shea. I think they're the two that have probably separated themselves a little bit. Giannis, maybe in that discussion. Tatum, I just don't think can be. So for me, it's Jokic or Shea. And I think I think we can make a case for both of them. So, yeah, we'll see which way they go. Good night for Christian Brown, 21 points, 2 steals. He's been a little bit better of late. Westbrook, 18, 5, and 3 with a steal. A nice night if you don't care about percentages, obviously, for him. And when the starters all play well, the bench doesn't really have to do a lot. Aaron Gordon still just playing minutes in the teens, 17 of them here. I think he's a soft hold, but I don't see his role increasing before the All-Star break. So if you need production now, I'm okay with moving on from him. And here are the Celtics. They lose to the Lakers. Best win of the season for the Lakers. It's up there, 117-96, and it wasn't that close. This scoreline is pretty accurate of the game, or reflective of the game. For the Celtics, even in a loss, there's very little to talk about. Jrue Holiday, he might just be a drop, I think. Derek White, he was playing a little bit better. This was terrible. He's a hold. Pritchard's probably a drop. But again, I'm not really taking too much out of this game for the Celtics or the Lakers. Yeah, there's just not much here for the Lakers, is there? I mean, despite the win, it was a very good win. It's not an exciting box score. The performances, Anthony Davis was solid. LeBron was solid. Austin Reeves looked good. Outside of those three, it wasn't much. It was just they sort of got their job done and Boston didn't play very well. So we will just move to the next game, which also requires... very little in the way of discussion. The Bulls thumped by the Warriors, 131-106. No Kobe White. He is likely out for a week at least, I believe. So with him out, Lonzo Ball, Ayo Dosunmu will basically split that point guard role, I think. 23 minutes for Lonzo, 23 for Dosunmu. And as this was a blowout, they probably would have played a bit more. I think Lonzo might have pushed here to 27. Maybe. He was fine. 9 points, 4 assists, a steal. Didn't shoot the ball well, but we get that with Lonzo. Look, there's not much. Vooch was pretty average. If you're ever looking for a pick-me-up, I thought of this morning, actually. If you're ever looking for a pick-me-up and you're feeling a bit down, stream Patrick Williams in. Because he's often sitting on the waiver wire and you go, oh, this guy, look, he starts, he plays minutes. Maybe he can play and get me 15 points and a steal and a block. So stream him in, and then when you see how crappy he is at the end of the day, just remember how good life was before he was on your roster, and I think you'll feel okay. Zach LaVine, 24 points. Offense was nice, didn't do anything else. Again, I'm not really talking about the Bulls too much here because it wasn't that close a game. And for the Warriors, we don't have to talk about much either because they won comfortably. But it was just their second unit who got it done, and they are not going to play. They are not going to play minutes like this. every night. So Buddy Hield, I'm not holding him. Santos, he had 19-7. Moody had 16-4 with four blocks. Pajemski returned. So he's just another name we're throwing in here. Schroeder had 11-7 off the bench. Quinton Post had 20 off the bench. So honestly, I would look at this box score and go, well done, second unit. I don't care. And I don't care. Washington at the Clippers. A pretty comfortable win for the Clippers here. This was the fourth game in five nights. They've got a fifth game in seven nights on Saturday. So we will see what their lineup looks like. This was a pretty full sort of normal lineup for them, as it was for the Wizards. Again, playing a good team. We'll roll out our best players and probably lose anyway, which they did. Koulibaly had 15-5 with three steals. That was nice. Kuzma. Is he a drop? Maybe he is. He has been so bad. I don't have him anywhere, so I can't sort of say I'm dropping him. But if you've got him on your roster, I'm pretty certain you could stream in better value than what he's putting up. Saar, I thought, looked okay in this one, 14-10. Jordan Poole had 24 points, 9 assists, so a nice performance for him, but we know that there's going to be rests coming up. Bob Carrington, we're probably holding him. He's not that exciting, but he had 12-6-5 with two steals. Valanciunas, 12-10 off the bench. Not really enough for him to be rostered, I don't think. After the trade deadline, we could have some value here, but at the moment, not much for me outside of those that we know about. And for the Clippers, I said Leonard returned, Zubats returned, Harden returned, Powell returned. So the guys that went off last night, Amir Coffey, Kevin Porter, Derek Jones. Well, Jones was still good, to be fair, but those other guys didn't do anything. Jones is on a bit of a hot streak at the moment. 19 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block. I've added him in a couple of leagues, and I'll just hold him for now. He just doesn't hurt you, really. He chips in. He does things on both ends of the field. He can hit threes. He plays above the rim, so his percentages are usually okay. Kawhi played 24 minutes, so up from his 21. Could have been a bit more, too, if this was close, but it wasn't close. 15-7-1 with a steal, so still far from his best, but this is okay. I'm not sure what his ceiling is moving forward. It doesn't... In previous years, I've talked about both he and Kevin Durant being these guys that could miss multiple games and then just come out and hit the floor running. He hasn't done that this year. He's been pretty hesitant. The fact that highlights on Twitter were a Kawhi dunk, and honestly, he struggled to dunk it. It was not impressive. So to me, that says that his body is not what it... Well, we know it isn't what it once was, but I just don't know if it can get back to what it was either. He will still be very good. I don't know if he can be that first rounder that we've seen in the past. We will see. But at the moment, I'm hesitant to believe that. Norm Powell had 22 points, 3 steals. James Harden had a triple-double, his 79th, I believe, of his career. Coffey had 10 points, but we don't need to hold him. We don't need to hold Kevin Porter Jr. Chris Dunn was out here, but we're not holding any of these guys. And if they roll out, I mean, on Saturday, Kawhi could rest. Harden could rest. Powell, maybe. So maybe we sort of grab Coffey or Porter there, but we can't really make that determination until we see what their roster looks like. And that's all the games, I think. It is. Well, that was a lot. Let's have a look at questions. I know there's a lot of them too. Joseph Kim, Scoot was back on the bench. Yes, he was. Very Portland thing to do. Hope I had a great time off. I did. It was good. We didn't do much. We swam. I sat in the spa. That's my version of swimming, while the kids went in the pool. So I sat in the spa and we did some zip lining and we did some mini golf and we just traveled around, went to some coastal towns and had some coffee. And I got a little bit sick. I ate some weird pastry thing. I think it got me a bit sick. But other than that, it was good. Weather was nice. what's Alex saying here? Not a coincidence that my absence directly correlated with you dropping in the standings. Well, hopefully we can rectify that. Slat, how long do we think Jalen Johnson's out for? So I talked about him. Wouldn't surprise me if he's out till the All-Star break here, but we do need to wait. I said if it popped out and in, he might be okay. And honestly, this he could come back in a game or two. But if it the way he sort of held it to me probably indicates that it popped out and was out, because he sort of held it pretty still, like he didn't want to move it because it had popped out. So we will see. But yes, I would prep for a 3-week absence here, but let's see. So, Alex, what are you? Tanking is a non-factor in the NFL. Far more cutthroat players have more pride in trying to help win. Fewer games is part of it. Sure, yes, it is. I would be a very strong advocate for reducing, not having back-to-backs and reducing the workload to 70 games. I reckon if it was 70 instead of 82, you would get, at the moment, I think the average games played is around 66, 67. I think if we cut the games to 70, it would probably only drop to 65. Eliminating back-to-backs would be a big one. I'm sure teams would still then they'd call, like if they had two games in 3 nights, it would be called something and they'd rest these guys. But it's not going to happen because they're all about the money. So there's no way that happens. Mini, yes, it was a good break. Thank you. Two questions. Offered Gobert for Mark Williams. Who would I rather have? Well, Mark Williams at the moment, quite clearly. Gobert is a bum, but Charlotte worry me a little bit. Mark Williams is a huge sell high at the moment. Offering him for Gobert is not selling high because Gobert has been trash. Honestly, I'd probably just hold Mark Williams, I think. Gobert has been, go and look at his numbers. He has not been good. Alex, what do I think of a Halle buy low trade Dame in a points league? Josh has him around 25 rest of season. I'd prefer Dame rest of season, but Indiana have the best playoff schedule in your league. Who would I rather? I'd rather Dame, to be honest. Halliburton's been pretty underwhelming. Dame's been good, very, very solid. Yeah, I think I'd probably go Dame. I know playoff schedule comes into it, but you have to get into the playoffs as well. So I think I'd go Dame there. Hinny Mini, a trade happened in another league. Just curious. Outrageous trade or reasonable? 3-for-1. Mark Williams for Bilal Coulibaly, Trace Jackson Davis. The person getting 3 has a bad bench. Look, that is selling high. That is a good example of selling high. But I think it's fine because Trace Jackson Davis for me is not even a must roster player. He's close. Nick Richards is like top 100. Bilal is probably top 100. If Mark Williams is healthy and plays rest of season, he could be top 30, top 40. I think he's a first rounder over the last week or something. So this comes down to health. So I think Richards, Trace Jackson Davis, Bilal are all going to play pretty consistent minutes rest of season because the Warriors, the Suns are both sort of in that range of needing to play. The Wizards are going to tank, but I think Coulibaly is relatively safe. So I actually don't mind this trade at all. Is Scoot a drop? No, I don't think so. As I said, 6 fouls tonight. So move to the bench is not great, but he was playing well off the bench before. So I would be holding him. I will be holding him. Should I trade Jalen Johnson? I wouldn't now. I'd wait and see what this injury is first because you don't want to trade him and then they say, oh, he's actually just day-to-day and he could be back next week. So I would wait because now you would be selling pretty low on him. Lone Dez, yes, Magic do need that break. There's a few teams. I think Boston need a break. I think the Thunder need a break. Clippers will need a break. Magic need a break. Yeah, these teams that are putting in sustained effort to actually win. Yeah, they do. Shining Knight, thank you. Welcome back. Cookie Monster, a lot of questions for me stashed in an IR spot. Hope my trip went well. It did. Would I swap Nick Claxton for Sohan or Middleton? Middleton, nah. Sohan, yes. Ware or Goga in a 12-team head-to-head points league? Maybe Ware. I would say based on what we've seen the last few games, it's Kalel, because I think he's going to start and play 30 minutes. Goga, I think, will start, but I don't know if he plays 30 minutes. He might only play 26 or 28. So I think Ware might be slightly safer here. Probably has slightly more upside too in blocks, and he hits threes offensively as well, I'd say. Yeah, look, I think Ware. It's pretty close, but maybe Ware. Should I consider trading Hartenstein for Kalel, who has the higher rest of season? In a points league, because this is a points league, I'm assuming. Hartenstein's a tough one. I mean, he's out now. I still think Hartenstein's going to be very good. My opinion on him hasn't changed. But he is dealing with a soleus strain, I think they're calling it, which is a calf. So, and the Thunder have no incentive to rush him back at all. I think Hartenstein probably has slightly higher upside, but Ware might have a slightly clearer path to minutes. And again, this is based off 2 to 3 games. So it's early, but yeah. I don't know. If that's a trade in your league, which is the 7-teamer, we're looking at like anyone outside the top 50 is sort of expendable. I think Kalel probably has upside to push inside the top 50, where I think Hartenstein is probably top 50. What was the Shining Knight? Oh, this was the Nick Claxton question, I'm assuming. 11-team, 9-cat, punting free throws and threes. Yeah, I think I'd still go Sohan. Yep. Yes, fair point. Lomdes, if Spoelstra is out there starting Pelé Larsen, we don't think he cares about winning games. Ricardo OG, Poeltl is underrated. He's very underrated. He's been very good this season. Who has the highest upside in a points league? Ware or Gafford? Ooh, that's pretty close. Ooh. I don't know. I might go Gafford slightly. It's pretty close. I think Ware will be more fun. If you look, if fun is a category. Let's put it up on the screen. Yeah, I think Gafford is probably a little bit safer. But both I think have upside to push inside the top 50. TK, thanks for the content. Do I think Quinton Post has value in 16-team 9-cats? Oh, look, I doubt it. The Warriors would have to change direction, but they'd need to be switching their line of thinking here. I don't know. I mean, he was good tonight. He had 20 points, but I don't know. I mean, the minutes still aren't great. He played 20 minutes. Before that, he played 15, 14. He's in the rotation. The 14-minute game was a blowout loss, so he just played the last quarter. I think Kevon Looney has sort of been out, has he maybe? Or maybe Jackson Davis was out. Like, there's been reasons for it. I know I've been away, so I haven't stayed fully on top of rotations. But look, if you want to take a flyer on him, because honestly, Looney and Trace Jackson Davis have not thrived. They haven't done anything to go, well, these guys need to be starting. So if you want to take a flyer in a 16-team league, sure. Is this the same injury that Herb Jones suffered? I don't think so, but maybe we'll get an update. Who have we got? Oh, this is just context on that one. League settings. Gafford is 50th. Hartenstein is 44th. Ware has brought himself from 113 to 84 and now 72. Yeah, that's what I mean. I think Hartenstein is who he is. Like, this is, we're not going to see a massive blow up from him. Gafford, similarly, he's obviously got a much clearer path to minutes with Lively out, but Ware is the most intriguing of the three, but also probably the riskiest. Alex picked up Sharp for the 3 and 4 days, but panic dropped him to get Sohan after JJ popped his shoulder. Would expect they take... Oh, yes. So this is, yeah, the JJ injury, maybe a month. Yeah, like I said, All-Star break would be my guess right now, and we could wake up to news in the morning. What have we got? Did we have an Aiton or we have an Aiton question? Oh, here we go. Goga or Aiton? Oh, I think it's just discussion going on. Yeah, I'm never going to vouch for Aiton, I don't think, am I? Horrible past few games for Fox. Is this a buy low? Yep, probably is. Yeah, he'll be better. Alex received a trade offer to send Jalen Johnson and get... Oh, yeah, should have... Yeah, look, hindsight. I still have them pretty close in terms of per game value, but obviously if Johnson is going to miss a month here, then yes, you would have wanted to take that. I drafted J-Dub over Jalen Johnson in my redraft league, but they went very close. So I'm pretty glad I did that at the moment. Thoughts on the All-Star starters? Do I think anyone got snubbed? Yeah, well, I'm not surprised to see LeBron there because he's just still super popular. KD a little bit. I don't think he should be there. Brunson, I'm 50-50 on him. I mean, he's had a good year. I think LaMelo should have been there. But I like LaMelo, so that's probably more of a bias kind of thing. No, I mean, it's hard to make an argument against any of them. Wemby, obviously, I think should be there. But it's hard in that West because Jokic is there and he's so good. So Wemby will be there. He'll be in the All-Star game. I don't think there's any questions there. So, yeah, I didn't think KD sort of warranted a pick. I'm surprised Donovan Mitchell. I think Cleveland had to get someone. And I guess it's just Donovan Mitchell almost by default, but I don't think he's actually been that good. He just hasn't had to be that good this year. Mobley, for me, could have forced his way in, but again, he doesn't have that popular vote, I don't think. So two Knicks, yeah, they've been good, but not great. Cat, I think very well deserved for Cat. He's been very, very good this year. So yeah, look, there's a few questions, but I'm sure even if LaMelo was picked, you could have made an argument for Brunson over LaMelo. So Nick Richards or Sohan punting threes? Yeah, it's pretty close. I'd probably go... Yeah, I might go Sohan there. Yeah, I think he just does a little bit more. I think Nick Richards is a guy we need to roster, but Sohan does a little bit more. So let's go Sohan. All right, we're near the bottom. Oh, we're not. People adding stuff. Hang on then, let's get going because it's almost dinner time. What did Pat Will do to me? Absolutely nothing. But that's the thing. He does nothing. Is Giddy safe rest of season? He's relatively safe. At least with White out. I think I'd be holding Giddy. I think he's fine. Alex is trying to pull off an Isaiah Hartenstein for Reeves trade. He's close to saying yes. How do I convince him to say yes? Yeah, look, I mean, his centre rotation there is not great. Capella is injured and probably only playing 20 minutes rest of season per game, 20 to 22. Lively is probably out for 2 months. So he's left with Gafford and Poeltl. Poeltl plays for Toronto, who don't really want to win. So he's playing very well. And I don't think he gets traded, but does he play in March? I don't know. Gafford, like we said, he's pretty safe at the moment, but he's really the only one I'd be looking at there. Hartenstein for Reeves, for me, is a fair trade. Look, I see no issues with it. So, I don't know. Tell him that I said yes. Yes, Josh is very annoyed with the Bulls injury reporting. I have been listening to podcasts while I've been away. So, yeah, they say one thing and then they rule them out for a week and then they're on the injury report as questionable. Like, well, why? Just say out. Like, it's and it's not isolated to the Bulls. They just have a habit of doing it consistently. Yeah, Giddy, I mean, that's what Giddy does. He gets you the accounting stats. So that's why you hold him. Terrible Pat Will advice. I would want to drop my entire team if that happened. Yeah, it's. I didn't add Pat Williams. I just saw him there and I thought, man, surely I can't add him. And then I thought, well, if I add him, at least I'll remember how good my team was without him. What have we got here? Yes, Mark Williams. Yeah, look, he probably is projected to be a second rounder. Part of that is just he's what he is elite in, the low volume categories. Yeah, it comes down to health for him. It really does. Is Bam a buy low? And if so, what would I offer for him? Well, yeah, look, Bam's a tricky one because his role has changed now. I think, I don't even know what his rank is this season. He was someone I sort of avoided drafting this season. I don't know why. He doesn't excite me. He's a little bit like Pascal Siakam. He just is who he is. So he's 69th on the season. Yeah, he's a tough one to probably buy low on, though, because I just don't think anyone's going to give him up for a top 90 player. In their mind, he's still going to be this top 50 center. I just don't think that's the case this year. Obviously, no Jimmy Butler there will help, but will it? Because they might just fall out the bottom end and maybe they just say, hey, Bam, take March off. So, yeah, I wouldn't offer a top 50. I probably wouldn't offer a top 70, top 80 maybe, but I just don't think you can pull it off. Would I try to get Mark Williams in a sell high? I don't know. His manager's probably asking the world at the moment. If you could get him for a top 50 player, I'd potentially take a chance, but I would have to look. I'd look at my roster and just see how many other injury guys I've got. Is it time to take pennies on the dollar for Derek White? I don't think so. I don't know. He has to be better, doesn't he? He is a buy low. I mean, that's very clear. I don't know. I might give him up for a top 50 player. I don't think we're going to get a top 20, top 30 Derek White, but I do think the All-Star break is going to help the Celtics. So, yeah, I'd probably hold if I could. Oh, Chad, he's got a new name. What do we think of Post? Deep leagues. I think we sort of came to the conclusion that maybe in a 16-team league, you could take a flyer on him. The first game that he played 15 minutes was a blowout, so he just played in the last quarter. And I think, as I said, they've had Looney maybe out. Jackson Davis, I think, was sort of questionable and then he only played 9 minutes tonight or something. Anyway, A flyer, yes. Standard leagues, I don't think so. Could Guy Santos push Draymond for minutes with Draymond moving into that defense-only starter that plays backup minutes? Santos has been... I'd prefer him over Post, to be fair, because I think we've just seen a bigger sample size of what he can do, and Draymond's looked pretty bad this year. So, yeah, look, I think he might. It will. A lot of it will come down to what happens at the trade deadline and what the Warriors, because I think I tweet something about them, about the fact that their roster at the moment, like the path to winning for them is very unclear. Because they don't have a good young core. Steph's window is closing. They've probably got another 1 to 2 years on him. So if they want to build around him to try and win, they need to do something. I don't know. And so sticking with what they've got is not going to work. That's pretty clear. Ryan Porteous, I'm 12-0. Oh, very nice. Playoffs end March 23rd. Bilal worth a stash. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I would. Would I stash both Klingon and Collier? What about Kamara? Kamara is who he is. So if what he's been doing is fine, then that's what he will continue to do, I think. Collier didn't play a lot yesterday, but I would be holding him because the Jazz have obviously made it very clear that they're open to tanking. So I think Collier and Klingon will both be much better once we get past mid-February and into March. Yeah, look, you could. Collier would be the better stash for me in terms of I think we get some production now and then more later, where Klingon, we're really getting nothing. So Klingon is a perfect example of a pure stash. So don't expect anything now. In 3 to 4 weeks, then it's sort of go time. Cookie Monster, should I buy low on Paolo, Trey Murphy, Cam Thomas, or Giddy? Yeah, you could. Yeah, I mean, in your league, I think you could give up those two of those three for him. Should we hold Kuz in a 12-team? No, look, I don't think you have to. Yeah, you could, but he's been really bad. Hartenstein is better than Reeves, probably slightly in terms of ranking, but if we're talking about that trade earlier on, I think it's a fair trade. Players don't have to be the 54th and 56th ranked player for it to be an even trade. Once you get beyond the top 20, you can make a case that a top 30 player is the same as a top 50 player. It really just comes down to stats in category leagues anyway. Points leagues, a little bit different because obviously you just plug in the points and have a look at the value. Alex, we've got chat here, top 50. Chatter. The Mark Williams, the other way around. Alex. Oh, Alex wants to sell Mark Williams. Which question was that? Where's Alex? Who would I try to get in a... Oh, okay. So if you're selling Mark Williams, okay. Look, aim high. You're not going to get a first rounder. You're probably not going to get a second rounder. And this is the question, I think. Do you sell high or do you just ride it out? Because I don't think you're going to be able to sell high enough. I mean, yeah, I'm looking at the projections here. Josh has him projected as the 9th-ranked player. You are not getting a first rounder back. You are probably not getting a top 20 player back. I think even top 30 would be a push. People are just so cautious because of the injury history. So, yeah, look, if you wanted to offer him for, I don't know, who's a top 30? Şengün. If you're looking for a center, that is. I don't know, do you offer him for Chet? Maybe, and just throw Chet in your IR spot. That's probably not terrible. Again, you're taking a hit now, though. I don't know. Throw him out there for Gafford if you think Gafford's going to be a little safer. There's options. Okay. So here's a follow-up for that question. So these are your other centers, are Chet, Zhu, Hartenstein, JJJ. All right, so you have Chet, so you can't get him. I would aim as high as you could. I just don't think you'll get value based on what he's doing now, because people are not going to go, oh, yeah, Williams is good to go. What else have we got? What's Chad got here about Derek White? He should be better, but me, Noah, Raf, Dan have probably said that to you twice a week for a month. we have to trust ourselves, don't we? If you're a bit uncertain, I wouldn't do it now because he was terrible today. If he puts together two interesting games where he's more like the Derek White, and then you would move and try and move him for a top 50 player. If you want to do that, that's fine, I think. Collier or Tyus Jones? Collier, maybe. Tyus hasn't been very exciting this year, has he? So maybe it's Collier. If you can afford to sort of play that waiting game a little bit. I might go Collier there. To me, Tyus Jones isn't a must roster player. He just hasn't been doing a ton. All right, that's all the questions. That's an hour. But that was good. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in and listening along, watching along. I will be back with a pregame show probably pretty early tomorrow, probably around 2:30 Eastern. Possibly trade talk. I will message Noah. I may see if Noah can. I don't know if he can do it on a weekend. I'll ask him. So there may be trade talk. Otherwise, we may push it to next week. That'll just depend on his availability and whether we can bang it out nice and quickly. But there will at least be a pregame show. Please go and like, please go and subscribe, go and pre-like the trade deadline show. Keep an eye out for Dan and I, our show next week, doing the pre-trade stash show. I don't know what he's going to call it. You'll see it. It'll pop up. He'll tweet it. I'll tweet it. It will be out there. Thank you for watching, everybody. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at